The recording that follows now was made for this occasion by the American poet Joram Rothenberg. Rothenberg's huge anthology, Poems for the New Millennium, which will be published shortly, includes Eric Mottram as one of four representative British poets.
I'm going to read a few poems for Eric, including one written in the aftermath of his death. It's with a memory also of the last time I was in London this past November to begin the celebrations of his birthday and to give a reading, the final time in his presence, at the East-West Gallery, a few days only after his reading there with David Meltzer. I had known Eric by then for over a quarter of a century, and a visit to London was for me, coincidentally or not, always a visit to Eric, meeting at his office in King's College or taking the tube to visit him at home, reading for him or hearing him read or officiate at great gatherings in particular of the 1970s, or speaking for hours with him and Gavin Soleri so that it could all be duly recorded as interview, or being fortunate enough to be in London for his elevation to professorship or for the celebration of his 70th and final birthday. One of the poems or poem series I read in November was called Seedings, a poem beginning with a dream about reading a poem called Seedings and going on to a consideration of dead poets and friends to whom the poem might be addressed. I'll read the opening of the poem now and a part of the ending as I read them at the East-West Gallery. And I'll close with a postlude or coda addressed to Eric as I knew him to be a poet among poets. Seedings. I was given a poem in the dream, a poem I read out loud, where I could feel the words coming in bursts but couldn't salvage them. I only knew the poem's name was Seedings and that it followed after a performance of Cockboy in which I had to improvise the final lines, unable to remember what they were. Between poems, I made a comment about Robert Duncan's particular way of reading, knowing he was dead, but seeing him sitting in the audience and nodding at me when I started reading. Section 1. Now in the dream, I read aloud the poem of Seedings, like the last time I saw you, and how it opens me to further words, new definitions, as I see you sitting there, old friend alive, to hear my stammer like your own, the mark of poetry upon each poet's tongue. I call the listeners to hear in us while laughing, crying at some other poem I read before, obsessive words we all can nod our heads to, but I could not find the ending, not for all the years of reading it aloud and heard somebody say, not you, but somebody, time is the thief of language, meaning tongues, like that the cat gets hold of. Excerpt from Section 7. Oh, these are wounds of love, these precious eyes. Those who have lived a life of poetry will die and meet the poets. It will be 5 o'clock, the blanket on the bed will fall away. The fat man will absorb the shock love brings him, and now, unlike the others in the tunnel, he will forget to crouch, forget the dead who stand before him, blow their words like knives over his head. Beware, beware. The car door opens and a relentless squad enters the imagination in which, as in a sylvan clearing, poets mill around a thorn bush for those who lived a life of poetry to stare upon, to take the hands of in their own and touch with lips so dark the sun can barely reach them. Old friends gone beforehand, let me call them one last time by name, by seeding them into the poem, its body dark with soil, among whom a new fellow comes. Postlude to Seedings in memory of Eric Mottram. 1. I who would feed you life can only feed you my reminiscence this morning that opens on a precious mind the shadow of an empty tree, limbs shattered, rootless, footprints left fresh across millennia. What is it that you have brought to show me, asks the voice. Poor muse, how will I ever answer her, or you, my ghosts gathered in the air around me? Too many now, the dead, too many to be counted. Not, I mean, the myriads who died before, all broken insects, animals, and gods, but in the death of those who lived with us, shared whatever life we had, who now will share our deaths, take us by ones into their company. Again, as Eric goes now, leaves the barrenness of England more barren by his leaving, so much of brightness vanishing with his loss. And in such deaths, as always, no one can be found to take his place, each soul, therefore, its own integrity, ingrained, ingrown, each with its special language, Whitman wrote, whose words come down to us from cyberspace a day after my own to speak of language that's unspoken or is spoken feebly, lamely, haltingly, its truths concealed because untranslated, unless some poet should arise among us who will be the great translator and the joiner of the whole. 2. 6 weeks before your death, I came to London. It was a time for celebration then, and in the East-West Gallery, I read, last time I'd ever read for you, the poem called Seedings, worried to bring so many in, poets like me and you and others, loved ones of our lives, who die so life, that greatest mystery can find new minds, new bodies, the way that poetry, itself a place of seedings, will also seek new forms, the truth of death revealed at last, not as a message of contentment, but of relentless life.